ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, Big Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brian is back. The band is back together. Brian is back. Brian, where were you all last week, being lazy bones on us? How come you're
gone? Two of those days I was still actually working.
I was
filling in for Michael Carroll.
I didn't see you around.
Well, actually, one day you did because you came in and recorded the Gentleman's Spot.
I think it was
the
week before. Pretty sure that was the week before.
The other days, I take off every year in June for my wife and I's anniversary. So those days I was legit off.
So, all right, band's back together. Astros played a baseball series this weekend, which they won the series. That's good. They lost ground in both the American League West Division and the final wild card spot in the American League because Minnesota, Carlos Correa is red hot, swept the Oakland A's, and then Seattle swept the Texas Rangers. So you take the series, that's always good, but you lost ground in both races that you're paying attention to. Some people aren't paying attention to these races, which I can understand. Each and every Monday, good, bad, and ugly from the Stros weekend. They won the series. I think we got to start with the good. What was the good for the Houston Astros in this series against... memory blanked on me.
Tigers?
That's right, the Tigers. A.J. Hinches. Mm-hmm. I completely went blank.
I thought you were playing a game or something.
I went blank. Okay. I just completely lost sight of who they played this past weekend.
I mean, you start with Ronel Blanco. I mean, he was phenomenal. He was fantastic. If not for kind of a complete brain fart in the middle of an inning after getting two outs, it would be interesting to see how far he could have taken that. I saw people clamoring for him to keep going, which would have been a huge mistake. It was stupid to say. But I mean, he's the ace of your staff right now. He's phenomenal. He's what a difference a changeup can make in the way that he is going about his approach. But he was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, there's no way I'm leaving Ronel Blanco back out there. I'm not an individual accolade kind of guy. I'm a team accolade. It's all about the team. It's about winning games. It's about trying to position yourself to be in the playoffs. If you do get in the playoffs, how can you best try to win a championship? So. Throwing a no-hitter on June 16th is very low on my list of importance. If I'm Joe Espada, not even entertaining the idea. And Ronel Blanco, like, he could tell he was done, too, when he came off the field, when he came off the mound in that final inning that he pitched. He was going through the final pitch. I don't want to call it a celebration, just kind of like his routine. He went there and he talked to the pitching coach, hey, patted him on the back, and then headed down to the clubhouse. So that, yes. Yes, there is no way that Ronel Blanco should have tried to go for the 9-inning no-hitter. And then Ryan Pressly messed it up, ruined the no-hitter, and then Josh Hader ruined the shutout. But Ronel Blanco's been fantastic. The chatter there. Look, and if you disagree that Ronel Blanco should have left the game, 713-780-3776, would love to talk to you. It sounds like Blankers and I are on the same page there, though. A lot of people talk about All-Star Game with Ronel Blanco again, and he's been fantastic. Ronel Blanco's been really, really stinking good. I've started to see some of these national types that put together their list, like who's going to be on the All-Star Game, et cetera, et cetera. I haven't seen one that has Ronel Blanco on it. I've seen about three or four of these, and none of them have Ronel Blanco on it. Ronel Blanco should be an American League All-Star. He's top 10 in ERA. He's top 10 in WAR. He's second in hits allowed per nine, behind only that Gill guy from the Yankees. Ronel Blanco, in my opinion, is an all-star.
Oh, me too. And I think that the one thing that I liked, aside from what you saw about national guys and putting out who should be on the all-star team, is Pedro Martinez was talking about the fact that he feels like this guy's not getting enough positive pub and credit for the season that he's putting together. And he went in depth on the fact that, with everybody calling him a cheater, he's like, basically admitted that he could have done it too. And he said that, essentially when it's on your glove hand and it gets in your glove and the way the leather inside your glove forms up a different kind of sweat and moisture, and if you put the rosin in there, the fact that it wasn't on his pitching hand, everybody needs to forget about that, stop talking about that. More times than not, pitchers do that. And that shouldn't be a black mark against a guy that's having one hell of a good season for a team that desperately needs him, and he should be an all-star.
I don't know if you can completely dismiss it, though. Now, in terms of his resume and, like, his status of being an all-star, I don't think that should matter at all. But if something accidental were to happen like that again, he's going to get busted for 50 games. Mm-hmm. So, like, it has to be on your mind. Like, it has to be something Renell Blanco is also cognizant of. Like, hey, even though I wasn't doing anything, I have to make sure that the umpires don't think that I was again. Because if he does, he gets popped for a second time, then, I mean, it's 50 games.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying from the standpoint of not giving him recognition, not giving him his props because of the fact that they're pointing to the fact that they think he's a cheater as opposed to coming back from when he got dinged for that and pitching his tail off, and since then being the same pitcher he was previous to then and almost doing it again with a no-hitter, you just have to tip your cap and just be able to admit it and say, the guy's pitching, having a hell of a year, and he's pitching his tail off.
Yeah, he's, in my opinion, he should be on the All-Star game. I don't really care about All-Star games, but it'd be really cool for Renell Blanco to be an All-Star. You got to throw in Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown has been sensational. Hunter Brown, 5 straight quality starts. He went, in my opinion, this is the best start that Hunter Brown's ever had in his career. 7 shutout innings, strikes out 9, does not walk a single soul, which has always been a little bit of a bugaboo for Hunter Brown. He was really stinking good. Like, this is the Hunter Brown that, okay, can he be a top of the rotation starter? If you take his last 5 starts, yes, he can kind of be a top of the rotation starter. Since he's added that sinker back to his repertoire, he did that on May 5th against Seattle. That was the first time that he did it. Since May 5th, let's throw May 5th in the equation here. That is a total of 8 games, 7 starts, 45 and a third. He has 52 strikeouts and 45 and a third. Against only 15 walks, by the way. So he's got 15 walks and 45 and a third. He has 52 strikeouts against 15 walks and has an ERA of 2.58 in his last 8 games, 7 starts, 45 innings. That is a decent sample size. That is a pretty large sample size. I think it is fair, and I knock on wood saying this, to again be bullish about the idea of Hunter Brown as a top of the rotation starter in Major League Baseball.
Look, when you look at what we've been pointing out, which is one, that he was throwing too many pitches, including a certain few that just weren't effective at all, and two, that he had a really tough time controlling and pinpointing his pitches. The fact that walks are down, strikeouts are up, and he's been as dominant as he's been putting quality starts on the board, you have to recognize the fact that this is a guy that has the kind of stuff that we were talking about. Look, it's unfortunate that the easy way to make this comparison that we've been talking about when we said a few weeks ago between him and Eric Geddy, these guys are going to have almost a mini pitching competition, because before we knew what we knew about Javier and then Urquidy, there was conversation about who was going to be the starter to win the job. Well, when you look at it, what it came down to when we were talking about it is Brown has 2 pitches that are above average in Major League Baseball. I don't know that Arrighetti has the same, and Arrighetti doesn't have the same kind of stuff. The fact is that Brown has basically put the pedal down since then, figured some things out, and become a dominant, dominant pitcher at a time when the team desperately needs it with all the pitching troubles that they've had.
Yeah, he's still throwing his other stuff, though. Like, I was surprised to see his usage the other day, because he's still throwing it. He's just not throwing it as much. I think adding the sinker was for the sequencing, though, because now you have a little bit of a pitch where the hitters have to respect the idea that, okay, he's gonna try to bust me high and tight, and I have to respect that. I can't dive over the plate and sit on some of those other pitches. So the addition to the sinker has led to better sequencing, but it's also led somehow to better command. Like, the fact that you just rattled off those walk numbers since he's added that sinker, that's what you need. Because Hunter Brown, first half of the year, and even second half of last year, it was, okay, he's walking guys in critical spots. He's throwing a 1-2 breaking ball right down the middle of the plate that's getting smished, that's getting hammered. He's matured. He's matured as a starting pitcher for the Astros, and to me, it's one of the best stories in the last 6 weeks.
Jeremy, you mentioned last 5 starts. I don't know if you gave out the numbers for those last 5 starts.
I gave it since he added the sinker.
Yeah, so 1.74 ERA over the last 5 starts. But I think even more important to that, this obviously ties in with the limited walks, but he's been 6 innings pitched or more in his last 5 starts, yep, which wasn't a thing that he was doing, you know, the first part of this year and last season when he struggled down in the second half.
Yeah, this last start was his longest start possibly of his career.
I think he's had 7 innings before, but I think it matched it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, as he's going about his approach and everything else, you know, the control is one thing. It's one thing to say, well, he's not throwing strikes, and you look at the strike ball ratio and the walks. It's the other thing to what you mentioned, Jeremy, which is with all the pitches he was throwing, there were a couple of those that even when he was throwing them, quote-unquote, for strikes, he was throwing them right in the red zone of where you don't want to throw strikes, because guys were absolutely annihilating them and barreling them up and doing a ton of damage to him. And right now, all the things that he's figured out, he has to be one of your top of the rotation type guys, especially because of all the uncertainty now with JV.
Yeah. I mean, the top of the rotation stuff is always like perception. Like, it's not going to change a fact because you're working in a rotation. Whoever's pitching that day, whoever's rested that day is the guy who's pitching. I think we put too much like stock in the, well, this guy should be the, like the other day when they were talking about Fromber, they should demote Fromber, your number three or number four starter. Okay, what does that look like? What is demoting Fromber Valdez to your fourth starter look like? He's still going to start whenever it's his turn to start. It's not like demoting a guy from the setup spot, the eighth inning spot, to the seventh inning. Now you're actually talking about tangible change. Like, the idea of demoting Fromber Valdez to the fourth spot in the rotation is not tangible. It is not going to change anything. And the same thing with Brown. Like, it's all perception. Like, he is pitching like a top of the rotation starter for the Houston Astros.
And obviously it's different if you were trying to set a rotation for the playoffs or at the All-Star break. If you want to reset your rotation, then it's something that you can always consider. But you're right.
And that still has some, I mean, that still has like days rest are still involved there. Mm-hmm. Like, if you pitch the day before the All-Star game or the All-Star break, are you going to be ready to go for the first game out of the All-Star break? I forget how many days off they have. Probably not. Same thing with, you know, if you're setting a playoff series. Like, if you have to play all the way down to 162 and you're a wild card team, you're not going to have the luxury of setting up your rotation. So, really, I mean, the only time you can guarantee to set up a rotation is at the start of the year. Once the start of the year happens, you're really at mercy of how many days has the pitcher been off, are they healthy, et cetera, et cetera.
What, divisional series, too?
I mean, if you're going from a wild card to divisional series.
If you're going from the wild card, but if you got the first round.
No, you should probably be able to set it up pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget how many days off there are, but there's like 3 or 4 days probably. Maybe even longer. Actually, I think there's like 5 days now with the wild card series.
Yeah, and the benefit, too, is the fact that at least it's looking like you've got guys to choose from again because, you know, with all the guys that have fallen off the radar in terms of injuries and with JV being a little less than what he's been and now dealing with this, and Fromber, obviously, between the years and otherwise, has not been stable to where you're looking at it going, at least you have options now that, you know, people were extremely worried about in terms of having big game pitchers.
Other goods?
I mean, look, Yordan to me was a good, as well as Altuve. Both guys with the bats were very instrumental in getting the wins that they got in this series. It was funny, the little story within the story of Yordan using Dubon's bat and then going back to his own, breaking it, going back to another Dubon, and then getting two more knocks. I thought that was a cool story within the game. But, yeah, I mean, look, Yordan is back to being Yordan. Altuve's doing big things again. So those two guys right there, top of my list.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to give credit to whoever found out that dude missed first base on Friday.
Yeah, that
would have been the leadoff double. Espada said it was like their I forget what he said. Basically, somebody in the video replay room, too, was all over it. They said that they got kind of tipped off by the way that he rounded first and headed to second. Like, he kind of, like, stuttered his steps and kind of looked back at first base, so he, like, kind of looked guilty, and then they zeroed in on it. Great challenge. One of the best challenges you're going to see all year. Was it all Joe Espada? No, but he, you know, got help from somebody else, and then he actually did it. And then also you have critical member of the Astros front office saying that they're in win-now mode. We've been saying that the Astros need to be in win-now mode for a month, for weeks. So the fact that they've come out and said, critical member of the front office, that they're in win-now mode, music to my ears. I love hearing that they're now in win-now mode. Saw it with Abreu. I can't tell if Presley's ahead of Abreu still, because like Abreu had the eighth inning Friday, but then Presley had the eighth inning yesterday. You had the weird, like Presley got up in the seventh inning last week, but so I don't know who's the setup guy right now for the Astros. And then they're not playing Chaz McCrory, basically. So like they are acting, Abreu, Chaz, et cetera, they are acting like it is now win-now mode. Win-now mode has been activated for the Houston Astros.
Well, you hope so, because I think as much as they tried to stay with Chaz and he got the home run and garbage time and people are saying, well, that earned him another start. Look, at this point, you have to be in go mode because, as you mentioned to start the show, you know, you're not catching up to Seattle anytime soon. You're actually losing ground. You have to be in go mode because you're looking at the wild card more than you're looking at the division, and you don't need any of either of those to slip out of your fingers. So we've been begging for this and saying they need to do this. Let's hopefully see that they stick to doing this because I don't need to see that much Chaz McCormick. As soon as he's eligible, I'd like to see Joey Loperfido, if healthy, and there's other guys that are hitting the baseball that deserve a chance in front of Chaz.
Oh, yeah. Any goods for you, Brian?
A quick shout-out to Mauricio Dubon. Had a hit in each game, and he's quietly got his average up over 300 right now.
Mauricio Dubon should not sit ever.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Right now, Mauricio Dubon, like they're talking about this platoon at first base, Mauricio Dubon's better against right-handed pitching than John Singleton is. So, like, why are you platooning him? Dubon's better at both. The platoon should be Singleton and Chaz McCormick. Like, okay, Chaz, you're going to play against lefties. Singleton, you're going to play against righties. And then whoever's playing that day, Maurice Dubon, you're going to play with the other guys not. If it's a Chaz day, Dubon plays first. If it's a Singleton day, Dubon plays left. Like, Dubon should be an everyday, I'm not going to say first baseman, I'm not going to say left fielder. Mauricio Dubon should be a fixture in the Houston Astros starting nine, especially while Kyle Tucker is out, every single day until his bat cools off. He's been one of your better offensive players, quite frankly.
Yeah, he really has. Wait, is he still leading the team in hitting? The entire team?
He's got a better average than Altuve.
And I'm not sure he has enough. Payne dropped down to 288.
I'm not sure he has enough at-bats to qualify.
His average is at 301, which would lead the team if he has enough at-bats.
I don't think he has enough at-bats. I was looking at the American League leaderboard in batting average, and Dubon was not on it. And he has a better batting average than Altuve.
But so regardless of bats, yeah, leading the team in hitting from the standpoint of best average, he's putting bat to baseball. He's doing a lot of good things. He is Mr. Versatility. But I agree with you. You got to find a spot in the lineup for him, because especially if you are admitting you're in win now mode, well, then put your best lineup in and your best lineup has to include Mauricio Dubon.
I've been critical of Dubon, even though he has really good contact, that he never walks, which he doesn't. He doesn't walk, but he still has a better on base percentage than John Singleton, Jeremy Pena, Alex Bregman, Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, and his slugging. Like I always say, he's really good at just touching the baseball. Doesn't slug a whole lot. 422 slugging is better than Yiner. It's better than John Singleton. It's better than Jeremy Pena. It's better than Alex Bregman. It's better than Chaz McCormick. It's better than Jake Myers. I don't think Dubon's a perfect hitter because I do think he lacks power. I think he lacks plate discipline and swings at everything. That said, despite those things, Mauricio Dubon's like one of your best four hitters, one of your best five hitters. And if a guy's a top four, top five hitter on your team and can play anywhere, he should be in your lineup every stinking day. And he has been. But is it going to be the same when Tucker's here if they call up Lo Profito if he's healthy? He needs to be because he is swinging a hot stick. 713-780-ESPN. What is your good? We'll transition to the bad and the ugly, too, because we do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 713-780-3776. The HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN Houston on YouTube. A busy show. Mailbag Monday coming up a little bit later. Caitlin Clark is Cody Rhodes. What are you talking about? We'll tell you later. And what are the toughest divisions in the NFL? But the bad and the ugly from the Astros weekend. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Beast on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Vanderford Air, because we know it's getting thick. It's getting to be really, really hot out there, and you know the 100-degree days are right around the corner. That means you've got to make sure your AC unit is up to snuff. That means your HVAC system should be one of your most important priorities from now for the foreseeable future, because you know how important it is when and how much you need it when you got it and how much you absolutely want it when you don't, and you got to get it fixed right away. And that's where I'll start. The reason why I tell you about Vanderford Air is because they got guarantees all over the place, but the one that's the first and foremost is when you call them because you need them because your system is down, that's when they come in handy, because they're going to guarantee within 24 hours of you calling them, they're going to be out to see you. That's something that's hard to find across this city, because most people say, well, we're backlogged. We got a ton of people. We can't get there for another week, another 4 days, another 2 days. This way you go to a company that says within 24 hours, we'll be there to help you because we know it's important to you. That's phenomenal. And then on top of that, it's all the other guarantees that go with it. Whether it's replacing a part or replacing the entire system, everything is guaranteed. Best value at the lowest cost to you, guaranteed. No risk customer trust guarantee, which means what they say is what they're going to do, and they're going to put it in writing. Comfort assurance guarantee that the temperature will work exactly the way you want it to. A quality workmanship guarantee. Their people will do it the right way and make sure it works the way it's supposed to. A performance guarantee that everything is operating at factory standards. And the most important guarantee of all, 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That's why you go to a company like Vanderford Air, because so many companies out there are just trying to get you off their books, make sure it's taken care of and you paid, and move on to the next customer. They want to make sure that anytime and every time you talk about Vanderford Air, you're going to talk about them positively, you're going to recommend them to others, and you're going to be 100% satisfied with the job that they did for you. Put their number in your phone right now. You may want to get a checkup before it gets too hot, or you may want to put it in your phone so you have it when you need it. 281-557-COOL. 281-557-COOL. Extremely easy to remember, or VanderfordAir.com.
Loaded Raid Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Come
coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
JW on ESPN Houston YouTube. I can't figure this Astros team out. Friday night they beat a Cy Young candidate, and Saturday they stink up the place. Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point, question mark. It's kind of what they do.
Think about TK saying the toughest game of the series was going to get going against Skubal on Friday night, and they get the W, and they did it the previous every time they do that. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that you beat their best, but then you kind of fall apart when you're playing lesser thans on the mound.
Yeah. Dab brings up C.J. Stroud. I'm not sure why he did, but he said Stroud. Stroud was at the game yesterday.
Was that him behind the plate?
Yeah.
I thought you'd be happy if that was him because I saw him. He was wearing the Father's Day hat.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Why would I be happy about that?
Because he's wearing Astro stuff.
He's not a father. He didn't deserve that hat.
Oh, God.
Okay. No, I don't care that he wears Astro stuff, and I care that he wears Dodger stuff. I don't need him to parade around and pander that he's an Astro fan. I just don't want to see pictures of him in a rival uniform. That's it. That's all.
I thought it was a positive then. I think it's a low standard. My bad.
Actually, you can question his loyalty that he's like, repping two different teams.
I did all the time when JJ got here and immediately was overdoing the Rockets and the Stros gear.
Yeah. 6941, did Myers not realize there was no hitter on the line with no dive for history? I just don't think he could have got to it.
I looked at it and thought maybe, but at the same time, I know if for the fans, they're going to get really into that whole team no-hitter thing again, but I just don't think that the players at that point are thinking about that.
You don't think they're thinking about no-hitter?
No, once the starting pitcher leaves, I don't think they're thinking about it.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're trying to keep the no-hitter. I don't think that Myers forgot. And even if he couldn't have got to it, he probably should have just for perception laid out for it. I don't think that he forgot, though. But I do think they care. I think they care about the team no-hitter. They had one in AA the other day, and they were like, they were celebrating like they won the Pacific Coast League World Series. I know that's AAA, but whatever.
The Hooks had their first ever 9-inning no-hitter, too.
Oh, was that their first ever?
Yeah, the first ever.
And the Jake Bloss kid, Dana Brown, drafted him in the third round out of Georgetown. Dana Brown's draft picks are looking pretty good. Pretty good. All right, let's get to the bad. We don't ignore in victory what we wouldn't in defeat. What were some of the bad things from the Astros this weekend?
I think the first thing was the JV injury that no one saw coming. I think that's a bad thing because of the fact that we've already seen so many injuries with this team, with the pitching staff, so many guys that are shelled for the year. And now, not only is it another injury, but it's another neck injury. And we know how the last one ended, to where you start having all kinds of doubt and wonder of what the hell's going on. And no matter how good or bad Justin Verlander has been, he hasn't been really bad, and he's been decent enough to get you through games that you need, and that would have been a nice game to have instead of the results without him.
Not that you want him to be dealing with neck strains at the age of 41, but it's like, okay, maybe this explains his mediocrity in his last couple of starts. So it's like, okay, maybe that possibility exists. The Astros have 100% earned the criticism about, injuries and then everybody flipping out thinking that, this could be more severe than it is, because Christian Javier had a little, wrong night on his pillow in his hotel room, and then all of a sudden he needs Tommy John. Now, Verlander talked about it the next day, said that he thought if it was the playoffs that he could pitch. Dana Brown also mentioned to Astros Radio yesterday that they think that Verlander could start in Chicago. They did not announce a starter for Thursday's game, so maybe Justin Verlander makes that start and it's not a big deal, and they haven't placed him on the IL. But again, the Astros have deserved and earned criticism for how they handle injuries for us to kind of flip out and think, oh no, this is terrible. To piggyback off the Verlander thing, Spencer Arrighetti, not good. Not good. And look, Arrighetti was on full rest. We know that. But he pitched sooner than he was expected to. And I'm not blaming the Astros. You should be able to pitch. But the Astros do not have great history whenever they pitch a starter a day earlier than expected. You go back to Lance McCullers in the White Sox divisional series. Whenever that game four was rained out, they moved it to the very next day. Lance McCullers pitched. He was fully rested. He was, on 4 days rest. But he pitched a day earlier than he was expected. All of a sudden, the forearms jacked up for good. That happened in not to an injury, but Spencer Arrighetti, full rest. He had 4 days rest, was pitching on the fifth day, no problem there. but he pitched a day earlier than he was expected, even though Verlander gave him a heads up, and was absolutely atrocious. Arrigetti with meatballs in that middle game against the Tigers. That was, I mean, that topped my bad. Arrigetti was brutal. All of this good, you know, all the good that Arrigetti's been doing in these last few starts, where he has looked like a big league starter, all that out the window immediately in that Saturday game.
Yeah, it gives you concern, and when you see the numbers and just how bloated and how quickly it got completely out of hand, it has to give you concern, because that's not something that this team needs, and you can't be taken out of a game in this, you know, completely out of the game as a team looking like it, down 7 runs in the second inning. That's disastrous, and he just didn't look like he was in control of anything, and that's troublesome based on what he had been doing to kind of get us to believe, hey, this is a guy that could be in your rotation the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's still probably going to be forced to be, at least for the foreseeable future. Some people were chalking it up to that's just an anomaly, wasn't, you know, didn't think he was going to start, grinding coffee and whiskey. Arrigetti just had a bad start game. Don't think that's who he is, though. He'll rebound. His next start's big. His next start's big in perception, because if he pitches well, we'll all think, okay, it was an anomaly, no big deal. Pitched a day earlier than he was expected to. Whenever he's starting games, when he's expected to start games, he pitches fine. So his next start will be pretty big. Michael Schwab. Swabby, the czar of Astros Twitter, he posted, I guess he didn't post the picture, but he magnified it. He blew it up. Yiner Diaz after the game, I think they were traveling yesterday, because they had their suitcases after the game. Yiner Diaz had like some sort of tape job splint on his right index finger. Why would you wear that for a bruise?
When you blew it up and I looked at it, I was like, well, that's one of those kind of like hard plastic braces, like that's more than just tape.
And
that's something that some catchers will wear if you got a really hard throwing pitcher, along with something in the pocket of the glove. But yeah, I mean, if you're wearing it,
well, that's on his throwing hand. It was on his right index finger, the one that got hit by the foul
ball.
That's
right. Yeah. So then it's definitely very problematic, because then why is he catching then?
That's a good question. Like, the fact that, I mean, we know he got hit by the foul tip. Like, right, he got hit by the foul tip. What was it, last Saturday, last Sunday? He had to miss a couple of games. Came back. His first start was Friday as a DH. DH Saturday, and then caught yesterday for the first time. So it went about a week. I've never seen somebody wear tape. It's not really a splint, but it's like hard tape, like you said, for a bruise. I've never seen that done with a bruise, ever in my life.
The only thing you can think about is that, you know, some of these things only heal when they're completely immobile, and you're hoping that the downtime until you play again or need it again, that maybe that will help the recovery process.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, look, it hasn't hurt his hitting. It doesn't seem to be. He's getting hits.
No, he looks
fine. And he looked like he's good at the plate. So then why screw around too much and just let him heal?
Yeah, it's weird to me. Like, I've never seen somebody wear that with a contusion or a bruise. So I didn't love that I saw that on Yiner's finger. And then I tweeted this the other day. People got mad at me for tweeting it. The Astros have used a lot of spots on their 40-man roster and a bunch of fringe super low leverage relievers. They called up Luis Contreras. Great story. Hope he pitches really well. But is wasting spots on the 40-man roster on guys like Contreras, Forrest Whitley? Well, I guess they had to, because they had to protect him in the Rule 5 draft. Dylan Coleman, the Sears guy. Like, they've used so many roster spots on the 40-man on these super low-leverage relievers. And again, this isn't a huge deal, but why not just pick one or two of them? That way you have some wiggle room on the 40-man. These guys are only pitching in mop-up duty anyways.
Yeah, they're not getting, you know, meaningful innings, and they don't look like they should be meaningful parts of anything, but it's kind of like what they were still doing and continued to do with Mashinsky. I mean, we just know that Mashinsky's going to be called up. Mashinsky's going to be, he's going to be in and out of this on this big league club, but he's going to keep being a part of this. I don't mind doing that at all, because some of these guys, you look at them and before you even get a chance to start doing anything on them, they're gone, and then you never see them again. I don't know why they're doing what they're doing, but I also have, you know, when we talk about bad and the ugly, I also look at some of the guys that I actually had hope for, like Dubin, and I put him on the list now, because just when I think that his stuff works and he can be a major league pitcher, I get it. It wasn't the ideal situation in terms of being in a quality position in the game, but it was bad.
Yeah, he didn't pitch well. Hernandez was the only one that pitched well in that game. Kind of saved the bullpen for you a little bit. Any other bads, Brian?
I mean, Pena was 0 for 9 this weekend. I mean, he talked about his batting. I think Joel mentioned his batting average dropping down and down to the 280s, I think he said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for the first month or so of the season, he was up around 330. So he's really dropped off offensively.
Yeah, he's been he got demoted in the lineup. He was hitting, what, 6 yesterday? Yiner was hitting 4th. Singleton was hitting 5th. He was hitting 6th. They really need Tucker back. Tucker extends this lineup.
And they're going to get him. Tucker's not going to come back till after he gets a rehab.
Yeah, which is kind of.
According to Dana, right?
Yeah, I'm hit or miss on that. I get it. Also, like, just rather have him on the team.
I would, too. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I didn't like Montero with 2 more walks.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been disappointing lately. 60-30, oh, sweet. I can't wait to be buyers with an already depleted farm system. The return will be insane. Yeah, well, let's see where we are July 17th. I know that Dana Brown says that we're going to be buyers, but Dana Brown has to say that on June 17th. Let's see where they are July 17th and still see if they are. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Jeff Bagwell talked to Brian McTaggart. Crane and Bagwell only will talk to Brian McTaggart because McTaggart's the greatest. Go Cougs. You'll never guess what Jeff Bagwell blamed on the Jose Abreu failure. It's a little ironic. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Hey, on Thursday, we're going to be doing the show out at the Gentle Bend Tasting Room. So get on out there. Come hang out with us on Thursday. You've been dying to get out there. Well, Thursday's the perfect time to do that. You've been trying to try some Gentle Bend. Thursday's the perfect day to do that. You know, I like a good drink at the end of the day. You can try the vodka, the gin, bourbon, whiskey. All are in my rotation, and Gentle Bend Spirits does it better than anybody else. Because of their revolutionary Percedo technology, that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you will ever taste. Purification of Gentle Bend is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it, including undesirable acids. These acids take the enjoyment out of your drinks. Well, Gentle Bend gets rid of the undesirable acids so you can enjoy. You don't want them in your drink. Try a sip of Gentle Bend vodka, gin, straight bourbon, cask strength bourbon. Compare it to what you drink, and you will never go back. I've been a Gentle Bend man ever since I had that first sip. You get all the flavor, none of the burn. So smooth, so clean, eliminates that burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Look for Gentle Bend at the liquor store. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant, your favorite bar. Head to the Gentle Bend Tasting Room, especially on Thursday. If you're going to an Astros game soon, Gentle Bend Bar just to the left of the Crawford boxes. Pick up some bourbon on the way to your seats. You can head online, gentlebend.com. You can learn about the incredible story, but you can now order straight from the website, gentlebend.com. Add it to your cart. The vodka, the gin, the bourbon, they'll have it delivered straight to your doorstep. That's gentlebend.com. Gentle Bend, period.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A lot of people were mad that that bagpipes, Jeff Bagwell. What did Berman call him? Jeff Brown Paper Bagwell? I think it's what Chris Berman called him.
Oh, Mark Berman.
Chris Berman. I think that was his nickname for Bagwell. I think it was Jeff Brown Paper Bagwell.
It wasn't bagpipes?
I think it was Brown Paper Bagwell. 713-780-3776. Let us know. I think it was Brown Paper Bagwell.
Yeah, I don't think it was bagpipes.
I think bagpipes was just like somebody else.
Yeah, just like a cutesy name.
Yeah, like people, maybe Milo. No, Milo called him Baggy and Bidgy. Mm-hmm. He called everybody E. At the end. That's how you
Pally.
Know.
He called everybody Pally, yeah.
Hey, Pally.
That's how you knew if he liked you, if you put a Y at the end of your name. You know? Blanky. Branamy.
Billy Worrell.
Bryany. Yeah, you'd always have
he
the
never
Y.
Never gave me a Bryany.
Do you ever talk to Milo?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I was at the Astros flagship, like 2010 to 2014, he was coming on our show weekly, and he brought me out as a guest to his, like, they had Astros threw him like a gala. On the field. I can't remember what year it was. It was sometime in that window. But, yeah, Milo was really nice to me.
I've heard some things about Milo.
Yeah, no, I've heard it go either too. Way. But for me, he treated me well.
Anyways, Jeff Bagwell, Brian McTaggart's their go-to. Whenever they need message from ownership, whenever they need message from their, like, quasi-general manager, they go to Brian McTaggart. And I can understand why. McTaggart's great. He's a cougar. That's why he is great. So Bagwell had some interesting quotes on, you know, the whole Jose Abreu thing. You'll never guess what Jeff Bagwell was citing as the reason for Jose Abreu's failures. Here's a quote from Bagwell. There's a couple of these. First, let me say this. Jose Abreu has been nothing more than a professional with class and a great player in his career. To get sound like he did and take that assignment was a very, very difficult thing for a player of his caliber. You've got to give him a ton of credit for that. It just didn't work out. When we signed him, if you look at his 2022 numbers, analytically, data-driven, all that, he was the guy to get. He just didn't work out. Jeff Bagwell, anti-analytics, you remember whenever they fired the former general manager that won a World Series, says that games aren't won on computers. They're played by humans. We've gotten too far in analytics. Is saying
I know the reason, analytics has those things out there.
Thank you, David Gulley. He is saying that the reason that Jose Abreu failed, or the reason they brought in Jose Abreu, was because of the analytics, was because of the data. So anti-analytics, Jeff Bagwell is saying that the reason we got him were analytics. The analytics let us down with Jose Abreu is what Jeff Bagwell is telling us.
I mean, talking out of both sides of your mouth, he should probably not be talking at all right now. I don't know who got him and who was able. Oh, you said McTaggart?
Yeah, it was McTaggart.
Yeah, I mean, maybe sit this one out for a while.
Well, I mean, everybody was demanding that he would talk.
Yeah, but
everybody was demanding that he talked.
But he's not the general manager.
I mean, he acts like he is.
He does, but they throw Dana out there when they actually have to announce that they released him.
Right, but was it, remember whenever, when was Jeff Bagwell holding court in the back of some room? Was it a press conference. But I don't think it was the hiring of Dana Brown. I think it was before that. Maybe it was the hiring of Dana Brown.
It might have been the signing of Javier, when Javier signed the extension?
No, because that was like before spring training. It might have been the signing of Jose Abreu. No, I don't think it was.
No, it was something else.
It wasn't in the Astros press conference room. It was like somewhere else. So I don't remember what it was. But Jeff Bagwell was like holding court. This was after they fired Click. Like it was very early in that offseason of 2022 going into the 2023 season. And that's where he had the famous, we've gone too far in analytics. These games are played by players, not computers. I can't remember where the setting was.
It might have been one of the golf tournaments where he was playing.
Somebody else was having a press conference. And then after the press conference was over, they talked to him in the back corner of the room. Maybe it was like a golf tournament. Maybe it was like a charity golf tournament or something.
Okay.
Like one of the Reggie Jackson deals.
That Andre Ware has too with, you're right. They did that one in Florida and everyone was there. It was big names.
But I felt like it was an Astro press conference though. Like for some reason they had a press conference. It might have been the end of year meetings. But I don't know why they wouldn't have that in the Astros press conference.
No, I thought that this was like separate from like a. I thought this was like something they did. Like it was something someone they signed or some move that they made, and he happened to be in the back, and so all the media happened to all be there anyway, and they're like, "Hey, let's get it."
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but that's what it was. Like they were having a press conference for something. I can't remember who the subject of the press conference was, and then when the press conference was over, they're like, "Oh, there's Jeff Bagwell," and then Jeff Bagwell holds court like he's the general manager of the team, and they didn't have a general manager at the time.
I think it might have been Espada.
No, that was way too late. That was later.
It was later, but that's why I say that.
No, it wasn't Espada because this was after they fired Click and like really soon after they fired Click. This was late. This was winter 2022 and going into the 2023 season.
Remember because he happened to be in the back and the guys were all there for Espada. And I thought he was sitting back there with a lot of the players.
That might have also happened. But like him holding court, being the general manager, this was after the 2022 season, like right after the 2022 season. Anyways, Jeff Bagwell is saying that we leaned into our analytics to sign Jose Abreu, and then it failed, because the analytics, you can't trust the analytics. Bagwell went on to say he went down there and made some adjustments. Rene Rojas spent a lot of time with him. I went down there to see him. I was happy with what I saw. When he came back, it didn't pan out enough for the organization to see that we could keep trying to see if he could get better because of the dire need for us to win now. Mm. So Jeff Bagwell saying the Astros are in win now mode. I was saying Friday, I hope this symbolizes a change of the power dynamics of the Houston Astros front office. Look, Bagwell says here in this quote, I was happy with what I saw. When he came back, it didn't pan out enough for the organization to see that we could keep trying to see if he could get better. So maybe Jeff Bagwell was continuing to, and this backs up to the sources I had, by the way, that Jim Crane was ready to sign off on this weeks ago, and that the one guy campaigning to keep Jose Abreu around was Jeff Bagwell. Jeff Bagwell in this quote says, I was happy with what I saw, but the organization felt otherwise. Dana Brown on Friday, whenever he had the press conference, he said this was a move that I drove. So, like, all those things add up here a little bit. So maybe it does lead to a change of the power dynamics of the Houston Astros front office, where maybe they lean on Dana Brown more than they leave on Jeff Bagwell. We can only hope. Final one on Bagwell. I had talked to him a bunch since he got here. It is a hard decision because at the end of the day, this is about our ball club, and that's the only thing that matters is our ball club. 4, 5, 6 in the lineup, or 5, 6, whatever. That's where Jose needed to hit, and it just didn't work out. That's what's hard is because we still have to find RBIs. That's the bottom line of trying to win. Kind of analytical inclined there, the whole RBIs thing. Very old school of him to mention the RBIs.
Yeah, it's just it's perplexing that he has as much stroke as he does, and he's doing the things that he's doing, and he's covering his ass because that was his guy. Everything that we heard was this was his guy. So of course he's going to be the last to go down, and he's going to go down swinging, and he's trying to stick up for him. But come on, man, it was just a disaster from day one.
He said the analytics let him awry.
Jeff Bagwell. I know analytics.
Jeff Bagwell. He said the analytics let him awry. And then he's still talking about old school. So we had to have a guy hitting 5 or 6. Who cares that his slugging percentage was 300? That's a guy we had in the 5 or 6 spot. He helped us carry us at the end of last year into the playoffs. It got behind in spring training, never really found it after it. It wasn't without effort. And when you're a team that's struggling like we are to score runs right now, that's just something out of my control. And it's out of anybody's control. It's not like anybody disliked Jose. He's a great human being, had a great career, just didn't work out. And it's unfortunate for both sides. It's out of my control, said Jeff Bagwell.
At least it's not a $30.5 million mistake that's out of your control. What got behind? His bat speed? Because his bat speed's been behind everything basically almost seemingly since he became an Astro.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to nitpick you a whole lot, but they said it was more recognition. Like, his bat swing stuff was okay. I think that's what kind of the bat speed stuff was like, all right, because they have that new measurement.
Okay, I don't know what they're measuring and how they're doing it, but I know that
bat speed, the speed of the bat.
But I'm just saying, smartass. I'm talking about the fact that with the pitches that he was watching go down Main Street and then not even be able to catch up anything 95+.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I think it was slow. I think it was slow pitch recognition. But yeah, Bagwell, sighting. Not to get too nerdy. His bat speed was in the 73 miles per hour, which isn't the red on Baseball Savant. It took forever to get the bat off the shoulder. He had a slow trigger these days. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. You know, everybody blames the law firm of Murphy and Miller and all of it. These guys deserve more praise. And because we're very honest and we're very fair, we got to give more praise to the law firm of Murphy and Miller. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for mybookie.ag. You got another finals game tonight. Might be the last one. Maybe not. But if you got a feeling a certain kind of way about Dallas, or maybe you feel like Boston's going to close it out, you should go to mybookie.ag and set up an account right now because you can cash in. That's right. I said you can cash in. If you've never set up an account with mybookie.ag before, if you do it now, you are going to get a bonus almost instantly that can help you just by using our promo code BET975. Anytime and every time they ask you for a promo code, to get the bonus, use our promo code BET975 and claim a limited time bonus that will put more cash in your account and allow you more cash to play with so that you have more chances to win. It's absolutely phenomenal. And they've got all the sports and all the games. They've got soccer and UFC and golf and baseball and finals basketball and so much more. And in-game as well as pre-game, you can go there and put money down and have a good old time trying to win some cash. The bottom line is, even when there's not games going on, there's gambling to be done because they have live dealers standing by with casino games that you can play like blackjack and poker. It's phenomenal. It's the best place to be, and it's more than just a sports book because they also have lots of different ways where you can actually stream the games live while betting on them right from the comfort of your own home. That's right. The casino comes to you with mybookie.ag. All I tell you to do is use that promo code because it's in your best interest, BET975. If you're an existing customer, don't worry. They got you covered, too. They have reload bonuses for you as well. So let's go. Let's get it done. When you want to put some money down on a game or you want to play some poker or some blackjack, let's get to the only place that can get it done for you the right way, and that's mybookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, and always use our promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. 5315, maybe he's just trying to save face on his decision to bring him in by saying they used analytics to get him to prove a point, trying to save his job, Bagwell-letics. I think that's very much what it is. I mean, he doesn't accept fault in it, says that it was all the analytics pointed to it, which at the time, I mean, the power numbers were dipping. Keith Law, who's probably more analytical than Jeff Bagwell, we had him on, like, didn't love the Jose Abreu signing, old guy, big money, multi-years, power numbers dwindling. Now, some of the other stuff, though, was actually, like, pro-Jose Abreu. He was still hitting the ball hard, exit velocity was still good, baseball savant stuff was actually in the red that year prior.
Yeah, I think the main thing was that extra year, too, that everybody had concern with, which was the fact that if you could get it done on a two-year deal, then maybe, you know, it was going to be something that could be very beneficial to you. That third year, I think everybody had a ton of concern about the fact that that might be a really tough season to have to swallow financially and otherwise. But I don't think that anybody, no matter how much you liked or disliked the signing, thought that right from the get-go and almost the entire way through, with the exception of that little run at the end of last year, that it was going to be an utter disaster.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. So we hear a lot of criticism about Murphy and Miller, the pitching coaches for the Houston Astros, Bill Murphy, Miller. Bill Murphy's the one that makes the visits. He's the one that we see on our television screen whenever he comes out and makes these changes. And anytime somebody pitches poorly for the – all right, I got that backwards. It's Murray, the one that makes the pitching changes. Or Josh Miller, rather. Josh Miller comes out, doesn't make changes. He makes the visits. So anyways – they get a lot of criticism whenever somebody pitches poorly. Spencer Arrighetti pitches poorly. Oh, they need to fire Murphy and Miller. They need to bring back Brent Strom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When do we give these guys praise? We talked earlier in the good that happened this weekend that Hunter Brown is looking like a top-of-the-rotation starter since adding his sinker. His last six starts have been really good. Five straight quality starts. His ERA is really, really low. He's flirting with an under five ERA, and he was right around 990, like, after his first several starts. Why don't we give praise to Miller and Murphy there? You look at some of the other guys. Arrighetti was really bad this past week, but Arrighetti has started to find his Major League Baseball legs a little bit. He's starting to look like a capable starter in a big league rotation. He got lit up the other day, but I think you have to give credit to Miller Murphy there. We're talking about Ronel Blanco being a potential all-star out of anonymity. Like, we didn't even know who Ronel Blanco was at start of spring training 2 years ago. Dana Brown came in. Oh, that guy's a starter. Murphy and Miller work with him. He adds the change up to his repertoire, throws that more often, starts to look a lot better, starts to look like an all-star. Why do we give so much criticism to Miller and Murphy and never give them praise when it's deserved?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I was actually thinking about this watching a little bit this weekend about the fact that you're right, we've gotten all the different listeners on all the different platforms that we offer wanting their rear ends in a sling and sent packing multiple times, and all the kudos should go to Brent Strom. But when you look at Blanco, that changeup is just what kept resonating to me during his start, is the fact that I get it. Every pitcher has the ability to pull a pitch that you used to throw in the past, like Brown, or add a pitch to your repertoire like they do a lot of times, experiment in spring training. But the fact that that changeup has been so devastating to hitters in Major League Baseball, and has solidified not only just his spot on a roster, but that we're talking about him not only being a starter in Major League Baseball, but a top three type starter in Major League Baseball, is a massive game changer. And to the same point, I was harping on Hunter Brown and throwing too many pitches, and the frequency he was pitching pitches that he didn't have total control of, that were sitting up like cement mixers in the middle of the zone, getting hammered. There has to be more than just, you know, the epiphany of Hunter Brown saying, I need to stop doing that. And if these guys are instrumental in doing that, maybe the Astros should also give them some credit, or the pitchers themselves, because it seems like they have something to do with it.
Have to give credit to Murphy and Miller. They know what they're doing. And here's the other thing. They led the American League in ERA in their first year. Like, we are so quick to dismiss that. We're so quick to dismiss that they had the best pitching staff in terms of ERA in the first year of Miller and Murphy. And everybody just, like, completely glosses over that. They're like, well, Fromber's taking a step back because he's a wild horse. Well, Verlander hasn't been as good because he's 41. Like, look at the young pitchers in their development, and we should give credit to those guys. They get too much hate, Miller
Murphy.
Was
that the year with the best ERA in the bullpen in baseball?
Probably.
Yeah, it had to have been. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, I think that's a valid point. I think that more people should be able to see the big picture enough to give credit where credit is due. It's easy to crap on everything with this team when they're playing inconsistently and they're disappointing you and they're not doing the things that you expected them to do all season long. But at the same time, what's fair is fair. I mean, look, Cintron has caught some strays early in the season when they weren't hitting too. But at the same time, give credit where credit is due. And this pitching staff has really taken a turn and been very positive over the last month and a half plus. It's the starters. It's the relievers. It's stepping up in high leverage and big time situations, even if you're not a high leverage guy, and finding the next guy up to do the things that you've needed to do when you thought Martinez was going to be a mop-up guy, and Martinez is a big-time guy in the middle of this bullpen that's you're able to count on. I mean, those are the kind of things that need to be notated.
Yeah. Like Fromber, I don't put that on Murphy and Miller. Like, he's a head case. Verlander's old. Blanco, I give them credit for. Hunter Brown, I give them credit for. Arrigetti, I give them credit for. Javier, kind of up and down. Like, he might have been pitching hurt. Urquidy never really got a chance to see him. Luis has been good under their tutelage. Now, he got hurt early last year. McCullers really hasn't pitched for him. You go to the bullpen, hater. Presley. Abreu. I think you can give him. I mean, this is their third year.
Yeah.
So Jose Abreu, you go back like start of two seasons ago, he was still very wild, raw, needed to put it all together. So yeah, like he helped Brian Abreu kind of put it all together.
Yeah, kind of like harness it, to bring it all in, because he was a wild horse in a different way. Like, yeah, he had this massive big time arm, but could he find a way to consistently pound strikes and throw pitches that were competitive? And he got better and better to the point where in the playoffs a year ago, he became your best relief pitcher and dominant.
Yep.
And they should get credit for that too.
Yeah, stop blaming these guys.
Does Taylor Scott get credit?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, Seth Martinez gets credit here too.
I mentioned Martinez, but Taylor Scott too. Someone's got to find him, but then someone, after they find him, guys have to develop him to be a major league talent. I think, in my opinion, he's been the most unbelievable success story surprise of this entire season.
Yeah, they've lowered the usage a lot, I think, on the sinker, and then they've brought up the usage on his fastball. So, like, they've reinvented who he is. And, yeah, the analytical department has some influence there. But then Murphy and Miller are being given this information, and now you have to now get the pitcher to do it. So, yeah, absolutely. They get criticized, and they shouldn't. 6-2, 6-9, best bullpen history in the 2022 playoffs, too. There you go. More reason for Murphy and Miller.
And on the Taylor Scott thing, too, he's got such a unique slot and arm angle that when they kind of change up the usage to get that sweeper more involved too, and it looks like the fastball coming out, I mean, you get hitters off balance, you get them flailing with one arm, and you get ahead in counts very easily.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Rory McIlroy. Ooh, we got to get into Rory. Was that a choke yesterday from Rory McIlroy as Bryson DeChambeau is now a two-time U.S. Open champion? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's a choke for you if you continue to use asphalt. I can tell you that right now. You should be using mechanical concrete. Are you tired of potholes? Of course you are. Are you looking to improve, add, fix a parking lot, a ranch road, lay down yard, truck parking, whatever? We know how annoying all of those things can be. We know how annoying potholes than any of those things can be. We'll fix them for good with Third Rock Renewables. Third Rock Renewables' patented technology called mechanical concrete is going to replace asphalt for good. It's the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable base that turns these end-of-life tires into a virtually indestructible building product. Call Third Rock Renewables at 713-305-0507 to find out how mechanical concrete can cut your maintenance costs by 75% or more while also lowering your carbon emissions. You can be green while saving green. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, 20% off. 20% off. Use mechanical concrete. Stop using asphalt. It's more expensive. It's not as good. 713-305-0507 or thirdrockrenewables.com. Thirdrockrenewables.com to fix annoying potholes for good.
ESPN 97.5.